This morning we want to continue our study through the book of Matthew, and it's much better to look out at and see your faces and to see empty pews that I've been preaching to the last month. And this morning I want to look at Matthew chapter 14. And in events that are occurring in the ministry of Christ when he walked on earth and in the lives of those around him. And the event that we're going to be looking at this morning at the beginning of chapter 14 is an event that occurred to John the Baptist. And I'm sure great questions rose up in the hearts of John's followers, as well as in the hearts of the disciples of Jesus. How could an evil, wicked king like Herod have victory in putting to death a man that Jesus had proclaimed was like no other man that had ever lived? A prophet like no other prophets. And yet he was put to death by Herod. Sometimes we can ask the same questions because we say, Lord, you're in control, but sometimes circumstances are such that we wonder why. And we don't know the answers. And this is what we're going to look at this morning a little bit, is this particular portion of Scripture. And even though the last song that we sang, and it's a true song, everything in it is true, it is finished. The battle's over. The victory's been won. But we're still in the midst of a world where the war is raging in the hearts of men. And the last couple choruses of that song were the testimony of an individual who may have intellectually known that Jesus had won the battle, but the war was still going on in his life because he hadn't given his heart to the Lord. I want you to understand, as you look at what's happening in our world today, and we can become filled with despair and despondency as you see all kinds of things going on, crazy things. They said that the unemployment rate in the United States is, I think it was 24 million people are without work right now. A number that greatly, greatly exceeds percentage-wise what happened during the Great Depression. If you listen to many news pundits and organizations, one would be driven into great despair. What hope is there? How do we get things back to the way they were? But if your trust is in the economy, and if your trust is in the nation, and if you don't look at the Bible, you won't understand what's going on. Jesus' disciples, to set the stage for the events we're going to read about in just a second, they'd been sent out by the Lord to preach the gospel and perform miracles throughout the Galilee region. And they'd done that. And they came back amazed. They said, demons had to listen to us when we cast them out in your name. We could heal people when we healed them in your name. We told people that you had come and were preaching, and we preached the gospel of the kingdom to them, and they listened. They'd come back and reports a great victory. And then all of a sudden, some of John's disciples showed up, and we have this account. Now, I want you to see in chapter 14, Herod's reaction. Because it gives us that picture at the beginning. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. Who is Herod the Tetrarch? Herod the Tetrarch, son of Herod the Great. After his father had proclaimed himself to be God and had been smitten, Herod the Tetrarch took over for his father. He was an Edomite, not a Jew. But he proclaimed to be following the laws of Judah, of the Jews, so that the people of Israel would follow him, just as his father had done. And he'd heard of Jesus. He'd heard of this man who was from the Galilee. Because at this particular time already in Jesus' ministry, he had not gone to Jerusalem that often to minister. His ministry had mainly been up in the Galilee region, in the synagogues of the Galilee. And he'd been preaching to the people there, and he'd been healing them of their diseases. And he'd raised a child from the dead. Herod heard. And he said, "Who is this?" He said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. Therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." I believe there's a little bit of fear in Herod's heart. Oh, John died. Herod had killed him. And if this indeed was John the Baptist come back from the dead, had he come back to kill Herod? But Herod needed to fear somebody much more than a risen John the Baptist. He needed to fear the God of heaven. Why had John died? Why had he been put to death? Well, Matthew takes and puts an abbreviation in the account here. And he tells us what happened, because the event happened earlier. "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife." Now I want you to look at the players here. Herod was the king over the Galilee region and had his authority in Jerusalem. His brother Philip, his Greek name, also had authority in the land. But Herod lusted after his brother's wife, and he took her as his own. There was no marriage. There was merely a lustful act and an incestuous relationship. And because of this, some events transpired. "For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." What law is he speaking of? The law of God. Now I want you to understand what was going on in the lives of the people in that culture at that time. Things that are very similar to our culture. They had a foundation in the law of God. They had a foundation in the character of God, because that's what the Jewish people had been called from out of Egypt. And they'd had this relationship. The law had been given to them. The prophets had been given to them. The prophets had come to them and foretold of this coming Messiah, the one who was coming to take away the sins of the world and to bless not only the Jewish people, but to bless all mankind, that they could come into a relationship with God. He was going to come through the Jewish nation, through the tribe of Judah, through the house of David. And they knew this. Yet if you looked at the Jewish culture, what did you have? You had the Sadducees, who were like many liberal theologians are today. They didn't believe a thing about the Bible. Oh, they held on to it because they wanted to have its authority to use over and control the people. But they didn't believe it themselves. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe that the Messiah was going to come. But they believed that, boy, you better come to the temple and give your offering and pay us your money, because we're the religious leaders of the temple. Just like there are many people that name the name of Christ in America and around the world today that don't have any desire to know Him, don't have any desire to follow Him, don't have any desire to know His Word or hold to the authority of His Word or believe that it's true. But they'll come in His name when it's to their advantage. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they like to control and manipulate people by their power and by how they determine what righteousness was. Like legalists are today. People who come in and tell you how you should live, and then list a whole bunch of rules for you to live by, and then they use those rules to build their kingdom. That was the Pharisees. And they manipulated many people because the people looked at them and said, they are so righteous, they're so religious, but they had no relationship. This was what was going on in the culture. And then you had the Herodians. The Herodians were those collaborators in the Jewish culture that collaborated with Rome, and they desired to uplift the government of Rome, and they desired to synchronize Israel with Rome, and they desired to do nothing that would offend Herod. And so they followed Herod in everything that he said and did. These were the three main groups of political entities in the country at the time. None of which were looking for the Messiah. None of which wanted Him to come when He came. Because He was throwing everything upside down. Into the midst of this came John. Now, John came in the spirit of Elijah. Remember it said that that Elijah would come before the Messiah proclaiming the way of the Lord? And that's exactly what John did. He came out calling the nation of Israel to repentance, that they would turn from following a world spirit and system that was antithetical to who God was and to His truth and to His Word. And that they would turn and follow the Lord, that they would repent of their sins. And God's Spirit drew people from Israel all over, from Judah and from Jerusalem, and they came out in the wilderness to hear John, and many of whom were baptized by him to show that they were repenting of their sin and that they were looking for this one who was going to come and establish God's kingdom. John, like Elijah, was living under a wicked king. And like Elijah, confronted the king with his wickedness. Now, if you look at, is it popular when you come out and people are so steeped in their wickedness, they don't want anything to do with the truth? Why I say that Herod is an interesting person to look at is because you look at him and he was bothered by what John said. How do I know he was bothered? He didn't want to kill John. But he was driven by a spirit of the world, which is at war with the Spirit of God. It says in the account that's given in the Gospels, and we'll read Matthew's account here, it says, and when he would have... put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him a prophet. Herod was a politician. Much like many politicians today lick their finger and hold it up in the air to see which way the wind's blowing. He feared because all of a sudden he'd seen and heard the multitudes go from Jerusalem and Judea out to hear John. He'd heard of this Jesus and the multitudes that were following him. He knew that there was something happening in Israel. And he feared that if he came against those who appeared to be at the center of it, the multitudes would have his head. And so he didn't want to put him to death. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and it pleased Herod. And it wasn't a pretty dance. It was a disgusting worldly dance. And if you can imagine, this young woman would probably have been in her late teens, at most early 20s. And Herod is so driven by his passions that he doesn't even think. In one of the other Gospels, it says that he offered her up to half of the kingdom. I'll give you anything up to half the kingdom. Because he was so taken and moved by his passion. There are a lot of people like that today, moved by their passion, not by truth. He gave no respect for the truth because he was living with his brother's wife, lusting after her daughter, and offering her anything she wanted up to half of the kingdom. And all of this was motivated by her mother. Because she hated John. Because she knew what John was saying was true. And conviction was coming on her, and conviction was coming on Herod for what they were doing. And John was the bearer of the truth. And oftentimes people want the truth silenced. Because there's really only two ways to respond to the truth. Either you hear the truth and listen to it and live by it, or you try and silence it from being spoken. Now, I want you to understand what's happening in our world today. People do not like to hear the truth. And they don't want to listen to it because it demands that they change their lives. That's exactly what Herod and Herodias were asked to do by John. Change. When Elijah appeared before Ahab and Jezebel, did he bring flowery words and say, "Oh, it's so good to have you as the king and queen of the northern kingdom of Israel"? No. He brought condemnation. What are you doing? Worshipping false gods. What are you doing building altars to Baal? What are you doing stealing that which doesn't belong to you? Jezebel hated it. Just as Herodias hated it. And it says here then, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. He gave an oath. And it was made in front of everybody at the birthday party. Who did this guy fear? He feared people, but he didn't fear God. He was afraid, what are all these people going to think if I don't follow through on the oath that I've made to my niece, probably. It says, and she being before instructed of her mother said, give me here the John the Baptist's head on a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. Oh, he was sorry. But was he sorry enough? The answer is no. And like a lot of people, I remember seeing people get caught in open sin, in rebellion, and they are guilty. There's no way they're not guilty. And it's there for a lot of people to see. And there's great tears. But they're not tears of repentance, because guess what? There's no desire to change. They're just sad because they got caught. He got caught. He didn't want to kill John, but he got caught with his own oath and his own words and his own lust and his own wicked desires. What does it say? And for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given her. I remember a number of years ago, we had been listening to Ray Comfort's video series on how do we share the gospel and witness to people. And so we were all going to go out and just try and witness to people that we met on the street and use some of the things that ideas that Ray Comfort had shared. And I was coming back because I'd gone with a bunch of the people up by the NDSU campus to try and find kids to talk to. And I was driving back, and I was driving back along University, and I saw two guys and a girl kind of hanging out on a sidewalk over by the by one of the corners. So I pulled over and I stopped. I went over to talk to them. I began to talk to them about the gospel. And again to talk to them about, had they ever sinned? And the girl wanted to talk. But the one guy, it was almost like Satan himself was speaking through this guy. He said, you better not talk to her. If you keep talking to her about that, you're going to die. And I kept trying to talk, but he'd get louder and louder, and finally he said, let's go. And the guy left right away, and the girl kind of held back, and then she looked at me and she left. It was more important to her what that young man thought and what he was sharing than where her soul was going to end up in eternity. Even though God had been convicting her and opening her eyes to truth, and even though the truth was there, she didn't want to listen because it meant he'd leave without her. That's where Herod was. What are these people going to think if I don't do this? And so he does. Matthew shares with us this account, and it's very interesting. I believe that Herod Agrippa is this Herod's grandson. It says here the king was sorry. The king was sorry. You know what his grandson, we studied that the other night, on Wednesday night, for those of you who listened to this, I gave the account of Paul before Herod Agrippa. And Herod Agrippa is listening to Paul's testimony. He's listening to the gospel being shared. He's listening to the truth being laid out about who Jesus was, showing from the Scriptures that there's no doubt that He was the Messiah that had come in fulfillment of the prophets and the law to take away the sin of the world, and that He was calling Herod Agrippa to repentance. And remember I said it's the most sad words in all of the Scripture. You have almost this day persuaded me. I almost took this step into eternity to follow Christ. But I've got Festus sitting here. I've got my kingdom to rule. You almost persuaded me. He was sorry. But he went through and did it anyway. The king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and for them that sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John the Baptist. And the head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Jesus, where were you? You said he was a man like no other man. Do you know how John was when he died? He's 6 months older than Jesus. So he's in his early 30s. Whole life ahead of him. To serve God. God, why would you let this wicked man living in this open sin and vile and disgusting do this awful thing? All I can tell you is Jesus knows. And the victory wasn't that day. The victory was won at the cross. And there's coming a day. In closing, if you just turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Jesus is speaking, and I want to look just briefly and read about two churches. Jesus is coming and he's speaking to seven churches. One of them is Smyrna, and the other is Philadelphia. Out of the seven churches, five of them receive condemnations from Jesus. One of them, Laodicea, receives no commendation at all. Two of them receive only commendations and no condemnations. And what's interesting about these two churches, they're in the midst of the same battle that all the other churches are. I want to tell you, this battle has gone on since man first sinned in the Garden of Eden, and it's going on today. It's going on. Wickedness and evil coming against the truth of God. Satan trying to usurp God's authority. Satan trying to come against God's perception in the hearts of men and trying to come against the gospel message by presenting a false gospel, a false narrative, a false way, and coming against the truth. That he may lead men into a rebellion against God, their Creator. Smyrna was at the heart of this. It's interesting. I want to read what Jesus' words were. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He tells them, I was the beginning and the end. I put time and history in motion. I shall bring it to its climax. And I know what's going on. And I'm overseeing. Don't become distraught. You may not understand. And you may not be able to comprehend why certain things happen, but I know. And he says here, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I know the hearts of men, and he's telling the people at Smyrna, I know your heart. I know you're faithful. I know you're true. I know because you are faithful and true, you are being persecuted by a world system that does not want to give you a thing. And you're living in poverty by the world's standards. Why? Because you won't pursue the things of the world. Instead, you pursue the things of God. And because of that, you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. That's the people that profess to be have a relationship with God but have none. And they're really children of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. In other words, he's telling him, because of your position, you're going to suffer. But don't fear it. Don't fear it. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. They were going to be persecuted, and they were going to be martyred for their faith. Is that happening in the world today? The answer is yes. There are countries today where Christians are killed because they're Christians. In Voice of the Martyrs, in one of their magazines, Muslims would come into the homes of people who lived in southern Sudan. And southern Sudan is where the majority of Christians are in the Sudan, in the country of Sudan. They would come into Christian villages. They would take people and families and say, if you do not denounce this Jesus, I'm going to kill your family in front of you. What would you do? These people would not denounce Jesus. They said, how can I denounce the one who has given me everything? He's given me life after death. He's given me hope in the face of despair. He's given me forgiveness for my rebellion and sins. And many of them are martyred in front of their own families. In America, we haven't had it so tough. And we think right now we've got it really, really bad because the economy's collapsing. My 401k, how am I going to ever retire? Do you realize retirement in some parts of the world is a concept that isn't known? My daughter was in Africa, and she had to go and talk to women who were left with their children who were going out to the dump and going through garbage to find enough things so they could make enough money to try and get food to feed their kids. And she went over there, and there's a Christian lady that had gone over there and is trying to help these women to learn a trade where they can get go into the city and get employed. At the same time, teaching them the gospel and preaching to them about Jesus. We don't have it so bad. And if we're a Christian, we don't have anything to complain about. Because the psalm I read this morning said, when I call on Him, He hears my voice. Here, these people were under severe persecution, yet he says, I know what's happening to you, and you are rich. You are rich in my eyes, and you shall receive a crown. In eternity. verse 41, or verse 11 rather, of chapter 2 of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You see, I think what's happened in our country and in many people's lives is we have failed to comprehend we're going to die. And we need to make preparations in this life for eternity. The first question I asked Mashanda about her mom, is she a believer? She said, yes. That gives me hope. It doesn't matter if Jesus should touch her and heal her kidneys or not, because absent from the body is present with the Lord. But if she had said, no, she's not a believer, you need to talk to her. I want to share with you just one thing in closing. I had a bookkeeper, and she had had Bible studies with my wife for a while, and then they quit doing it. She just kind of drifted and didn't want to do it anymore and stuff. And then she left to go to Iowa to live with her brother on his farmstead with his family. They had a little house there that she could live in, and she enjoyed being with their kids, and so she got a job down there, and she moved down there. About a year and a half ago, I got a call from her one day, and she was crying. And she said, can you come to the hospital right away? My dad is dying, and he needs to hear the gospel. I had talked to her dad one time, the whole time she was working for me. He came over one day and I shook his hand and said hello. But I went over to the hospital and he was having trouble breathing. He couldn't communicate because of the intubation they had to do to get him, help him to breathe. But I was talking to him, and I shared the gospel, and I told him this. You are going to make the most important decision you have ever made in your life right now. And I want you to squeeze your wife's hand if you know and hear what I'm telling you. And he squeezed her hand. And I said, you will make a decision at this moment for the rest of eternity. Will you repent and receive Jesus as your Savior for what He did for you at Calvary, and that He forgave your sins? And will you receive that gift of forgiveness and call on His name? If you will, squeeze her hand. And he squeezed her hand. I never got to talk to him again. He died the next day. You've got people like Herod. What are they going to think? You've got people like the church at Smyrna who said, I don't care what they think. And you've got people that are dying and need to think. I want you to understand, we have greater opportunity right now to get people to listen to us probably than we'll ever have. Because when prosperity comes, God goes out the window. But when fear comes, people want answers. May we share the truth of the gospel. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you would just help us understand that you know what's going on. That when John's disciples went to Jesus, why? John had been faithful. John had been true. And John will receive a special place in heaven for his faithfulness for eternity. Lord, may we be faithful. May we be true. And may we share with others, even if they don't want to hear. Because Herod went into a Christless eternity. The men and women at Smyrna in your church did not. Lord, help us to see where real wealth is, where real power is, real authority is. And it's in you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.